that scripture, if you read it from chapter 35, God has already given an instruction through Moses to the children of Israel. At this point, while in the wilderness, that tabernacle needed to be built. And that's a sanctuary. This was about two years after they left Egypt. And God needed to dwell in their midst. And instructed by revelation to Moses to build a tabernacle. Where his presence would dwell. And if you read from chapter 21 down to this chapter we just read, you see all the instructions regarding the building of this sanctuary, this tabernacle. God gave all the prescriptions, all that needed to be done, the dimensions, everything that is needed. God gave all the instructions to Moses. And at this point in chapter 35, God gave another instruction as a war was about to start. And he asked Moses to command all the children of Israel to bring the material for the building of this temple, building of this sanctuary. And so our discussion today is actually based on the response of the people to this command to bring the materials needed for the building of the temple. So it actually centers on the giving of these people, their attitude towards the building of the tabernacle. How they responded to God's instruction to build this tabernacle. So our topic today is allowing God to stir up your heart. Allowing God to stir up your heart. The word stir up has to do with activating the mind and understanding, to cause someone to feel a strong emotion and a desire to do something. To awaken your consciousness to something God wants you to do. It is something that is an internal work of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Whatever God stirs up a person's heart, He wants that person to do something. God will not just stir up your heart without an action, without something you want to achieve. We have so many records of this in Scripture. If you read Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, we are told there that God stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. And in that proclamation, he told the people, God has asked me to build a temple for him in Jerusalem. And in Ezra chapter 1, verse 5, you also see that God also stirred up the hearts of the leaders towards the building of that temple at that time. So God has been stirring up the hearts of men right from the very beginning. This is the walking of God's Spirit in our hearts, so it means that we have to be attentive, to be sensitive to what God will be saying to us. Because from time to time, God always speaks to us. He will always move our hearts towards the purpose that He wants to achieve in our lives.
Praise the Lord.
Let's look at our scripture in verse 2. One first thing we must acknowledge, as we look at this subject today, in verse 2, the Bible says, Then Moses called Bezalel and Oliab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. Everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. Now, one thing we must understand is that God Almighty is the ultimate giver of all things that you can think of. Whatever God is asking you to bring for Him, for any work that He wants you to do, He has already made provision for that thing for you. So the resources that you have, your talents, your skills, your abilities, the privileges you have, the money you have, your business, and whatever you have today that you can think of came from God.
He gave the ability, he gave the strength.
Just as we are here this morning, it is by the strength of God that we are able to come to the place of worship this morning. It's not because you woke up by your power, by your mind, might, but God enabled you to be here. So you must acknowledge that everything you have came from God.
In fact, the children of Israel understood this very well.
And when God gave them instruction, they didn't hesitate to do according to the command.
They understood what it means to be in Egypt.
And now they were out of Egypt. So they know the difference between slavery and freedom. So they consider so much that God has done for them.
How God brought them out of Egypt, how they crossed the Red Sea, and how God began to feed them with manna from heaven.
So everything that they have received, they knew that it was from God. So you must acknowledge this fact that all that we have received, all that you have, is from God.
Your time is from God.
The resources, the gifts you have, is from God.
The privilege you have to be here today is from God.
Whatever you are doing now, at this point of your life, it is by the power and the grace of God that you are doing it.
So you must acknowledge that God is the ultimate giver of all things.
So whatever he is asking you to give, he has already given it to you.
In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14 to 16, David acknowledged this fact.
Let's read 1 Chronicles 29.
David acknowledged this fact, and it will interest you what David said in that scripture.
Say, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this, for all things come from you.
And of your own we have given you.
For we are aliens and pilgrims before you.
As were all our fathers, our days on earth as a shadow, and without hope.
And look at verse 16.
O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand.
And all is your own.
We must acknowledge that everything that we have belongs to God.
Though we have people that claim that whatever they have got is by their strength, by their sweat, is their effort.
But they must underline the fact that God is the giver of all things.
Praise Master Jesus.
Now you must also understand that when God stirs up your heart, there's a particular thing that God wants you to do.
And in the scripture we read, Exodus 36,
there was a project that God wanted to execute, and he needed his people.
He has already provided resources for his people to carry out this project. In verse 3, look at the scripture we read.
And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel have brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary.
So they continue to bring it to him, free will offerings every morning.
Now, one of the reasons we allow God to stir our hearts
is that without us stirring up our hearts, we might not do what is right and what is good.
The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:13, he said that God is the one that works in us both to will and to do of his pleasure.
So if we are going to do the pleasure of God, we must submit our hearts to him.
So that he can work on us to do of his pleasure.
The gifts of God are resident out of you, but there needs to be a steering of your heart.
The move of God so that you can do what he wants you to do.
In the scripture, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26, when Saul was made king,
let's read it.
When Saul was made king, something happened. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him,
whose hearts God had touched.
Now there are some persons, unless the Lord touched their hearts, they will not do what God wants them to do.
And just like our topic says, we need to allow God to touch our hearts.
We need to allow God to move us.
When we allow Him to move us, we will do what He wants us to do.
We will please Him.
Now, in the passage,
we can see that
they allow God to touch their heart.
Let's read a few verses in chapter 35 of Exodus.
35.
From verse 20.
And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses.
Then everyone came
whose heart was dead.
That was verse 21.
Then everyone came whose heart was dead.
And everyone whose spirit was willing.
And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting.
For all his service.
And for the holy garments.
They came, both men and women,
as many as had a willing heart,
and brought earrings and nose rings and necklaces,
all jewelry of gold, that is, every man
who made an offering of gold
to the Lord.
Praise Master Jesus.
So everyone came
because God has touched their hearts.
And when we allow God to touch our hearts,
what will happen?
One of the first things that will happen when we allow God to touch our heart is that we will live in obedience to Him.
When we allow God to touch our hearts, we live in obedience.
When you hear the word of God and you respond to it,
you take it to heart and respond to it.
You walk in obedience.
When they walked to Moses, to the children of Israel,
that every one of you will bring materials needed for this temple.
And God gave the type of materials that should be brought.
Gold, silver, brass, and all kinds of materials that are needed to complete the house.
God gave everything.
And as Moses commanded, they heard the word of God, God stirred their hearts.
God moved their spirit.
And all of them went home and came back in obedience to that instruction.
That's why it's very important to allow God to stir our hearts.
When we allow Him to stir our hearts, we live in obedience.
We do what He wants us to do.
And we please Him in our obedience.
Of course, obedience is something that is paramount. It's something that every blessing, everything that God wants us to do is tied to our obedience.
Say, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the food of the land.
If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, all the scriptures talk about obedience and so many things that we follow obedience.
So allow God to stir your heart.
We make it to obey God.
For instance, you have the gift of singing and you are just there seated.
Just observing.
You may just be allowing that gift to be dying
until there is hearing.
And that hearing can come by the word of God as we hear this morning. That hearing can come by the Spirit of God. Ministering to you deep down in your spirit
that you ought not to be here.
This is what you should be doing.
And you are not doing it.
And as you give your heart to Him,
you respond to God in obedience.
Because He has touched your heart.
Praise the Lord.
So that's the first thing that happens to us.
That's why Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 that I talked about earlier on.
The Bible says, for it is God that walks in us both to will and to do for His pleasure.
So you can't please God if you don't allow your heart to be stayed.
You can't make him to be happy with you.
If you don't give your heart to him.
In the Proverbs, the wise man was speaking.
He said, my son, give me your heart.
My son, give me your heart.
Of course, you know the heart is the center, the place of will.
One of the things that God gave to us when he created us is the will.
And it is with the will that we are where we are today.
You take your decision. This is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to live my life and all that.
The will is strong.
And if you can allow God to steer it to be the one at the center,
you always find yourself in the will of God for your life.
You'll be doing exactly what God wants you to do.
There are so many commands in Scripture
that God wants us to obey.
and the steering of our hearts lying God will help us in this direction, will help us to live in obedience. Now, another thing that will happen to us when we allow God to steer our hearts is in that verse 3 of the scripture, Exodus 36, that we read. It's in verse 3. The Bible says, the people brought their offerings continuously. If you read that verse 3, and they received from Moses all the offering which the king of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making his sanctuary. So they continued bringing it to him.
Free will offerings.
How often? You know, depends on the reading.
Say,
morning, and afternoon, evening, day and night, and all that. Every day they brought the offerings. So when we allow God to steer our hearts,
do we give willingly?
Do we give to God willingly? You will not be giving excuses.
Let's say, for instance, tithes.
Many people have argued about tithes.
Tithes is a thing of the Old Testament.
But when you are praying to God for God's blessing, you would not want to say whether the blessing is of the Old Testament or the New. You want God to do so much for you.
But that God has commanded in His word,
you are not willing.
When you allow God to steer your heart, you give willingly, freely.
The people brought their offerings.
Every morning they kept on bringing offerings.
God has told you willingly.
Some persons are still living in disobedience.
They are not willing.
They have given many excuses.
They are doing their thing their own way.
There are some people.
You have so many gatherings and
churches today.
Some of these persons in charge have devised means to get money from the heart of the people.
Because if they don't do that, they won't give.
In fact, one of them was saying that we have this group.
The group of the flint.
Their heart is like stone.
You need to use a hammer.
Before something can come out.
You also have the other group.
Like sponge.
You know sponge.
You need to squeeze sponge.
For water to come out.
But you have this group.
That God has touched.
Like the honeycomb.
Honey drips down.
Without much stress.
Which group?
Do you belong?
These people brought their offering willingly.
Because God has touched their hearts.
If you don't allow God to touch your heart,
you will just be there.
And of course, God's work will still make progress.
But you will not share in the blessings.
So they continue to bring their offering every morning.
They had a habit of giving.
That giving was habitual.
Every morning, every day,
they brought their offerings.
It was a daily habit.
They brought the best of that.
If you look at verse 29
of that 30 chapter 5.
Let's read verse 29.
The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord.
All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be brought.
Now if you read the description of the materials,
those that were in the category of gifts brought gold.
We all have levels.
All of us here, we don't have our blessings, giftings, and all that levels differ.
It will be an error on your part that you are in the level of gold.
And you are bringing silver to the Lord.
God wants us to give according to our abilities.
And when you talk about your ability, to the most that you have,
God expects you to give the much.
God expects you to give the much that you have.
So if you are in gold, God expects you to bring gold.
If you are a level of silver, God expects you to bring silver. If it's bronze, that's what God wants you to bring.
So they brought the best to God from the much that God has given to them.
So when we allow God to stir up our hearts,
we will not only give freely, but we will give generously.
In that same scripture, verse 4 to 5,
the Bible says even the workmen had to stop.
The workmen had to stop.
They went to Moses and said, these people have brought more than enough.
Then all the craftsmen
who were doing all the work of the sanctuary
came
each from the work that he was doing.
Verse 5.
Okay.
And they speak to Moses saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us.
The people brought more than enough.
So when you allow God to stretch, you give generously because you are doing the Lord's work.
In fact, the way it was described in verse 21 of chapter 5 is interesting.
And that's what we must note.
When we are giving offering,
Take note of this.
In verse 21,
then everyone whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing,
and they brought the Lord's offering.
Take note. What I'm interested in is the Lord's offering.
Those have the mindset.
You know that we have a group of people whose mindset is that it is the pastor that are giving the offering to.
Now they go eat and they go shop.
If you're having that mindset, you will not be blessed.
Because the Bible calls it the Lord's what?
Offering.
It is the Lord's offering.
So it is holy, it is sacred.
It is for the Lord.
And that's why when David had this understanding,
that's why he said, I will not give anything to the Lord that will cost me nothing.
It is the Lord's offering.
That tithe is the Lord's offering.
It's not your own.
It belongs to God.
And it must be given to him.
And it takes God to stir our hearts to be able to give generously.
You'll be harming yourself if you will not give according to the ability God has given to you, whatever God has given to you, has for this purpose.
In fact, their giving was influential because it made the metal stop for a while.
Sir, there's no more space. This one, the much we have here will inconvenience us in carrying our work.
So they went to Moses.
Saying something needed to be done.
And Moses had to issue a command that the giving should stop.
I don't know whether you have been to any place you have experienced that kind of giving before.
That there was more than enough to the point that those in charge are allowed to appeal to the people.
It is enough.
They were so moved by God.
And they saw this is God's work.
It must be special.
We need to give attention to it.
So all of them were focused on ensuring that the Lord's work is done.
I don't know whether we have some among us that. Probably up to now, you don't pay your tithe.
You don't give your tithe.
It is the Lord's offering.
You need to allow God.
Allow God to speak to you.
Read the word of God and understand what God wants you to do.
It is the Lord's offering.
It's a privilege you have to give it.
It's a privilege you have.
They gave generously.
Of course, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9,
the Bible always tells us, read verse 7, 8, and 9,
where you talk about the way we should give.
Of course, you are not forced to do it.
But God gives you the privilege.
You know the reason why sometimes you see in church, sometimes they will put levies and amounts to be paid.
It's because there are some people that if levy is not set, they will not give.
But the ideal way is for us to be moved.
And we release our giftings. And God will use them for His glory.
Praise Master Jesus.
Now in verse 7,
One of the things that we allow God to stir our hearts is that God's work will make progress.
And all of us will want to enjoy it.
There'll be progress.
Imagine, maybe as we came to church this morning,
nobody's on the fire seat.
Nobody's on the instrumental seat here.
Nobody's there controlling the sound and all that.
Just imagine how it will look like.
How zigzag the worship will look like.
Imagine that kind of scenario, that experience.
And at the same time, you know you can do this kind of thing,
and you are just there.
If you are comfortable, then something is wrong somewhere.
So God's work will make progress.
In fact, the material that we need is sufficient for the work to be done.
That was what the workmen said.
It's sufficient for the work to be done.
So there will be progress in the work of God.
And more impact will be made.
The gospel will spread. The things we should do, the things that the church of God should do, we'll be able to do them because we have more than enough to do that. We'll make much impact.
Today we have groups who are not on the path of the Lord.
They put resources together to spend even the same thing, and we know that are wrong.
But whereas we believers have not come to the point where we can allow God to use our resources to bless others.
So God's work will make progress. And I feel that we have our heart is that we will be blessed in chapter 39 of this Exodus. The work was actually completed.
Chapter 39, let's look at verse 32 and 42.
Thus all the work of the tabernacle of meeting was finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. Now look at verse 42. Let's read verse 43.
Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded.
Just so they had done it.
And what did Moses do?
He blessed them.
Of course, Moses blessing them.
That's God blessing them because Moses was a God to the people of Israel.
He blessed them.
He didn't need to say God bless them. He blessed them because God was already carrying God inside of him.
So when we allow God to stay, we are the ones that will be blessed. I've heard of testimonies of persons who decided not to give what is normal, what is commanded, but to do something beyond what is commanded.
And they came to the conclusion that you cannot outgive God.
You cannot outgive God.
Praise the Lord.
In 2 Corinthians 9:8, let's read that scripture. Remember what it says, that God is able to make all grace.
2 Corinthians 9:8.
Say, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That you always have sufficiency in all things, may have abundance.
So you actually have abundance. Sometimes we think that if this thing leaves my hand, I will not have anything.
It's not true.
I remember when I was a student, I tested that thing.
Each time they give me a gift, I will give my tithe out of it.
As far as I was paying tithe every Sunday, before the next Sunday, they have given me again. Before the next Sunday, they have given me again. So I was always giving my tithe. This comes from God, we actually bless you.
So even as a student, you can pay tithe.
You can pay tithe.
Because God will always bless you.
So make it a habit. Because what these people did, both the small and the great, gave something. That's the attitude of a generous person. From small things they will give.
From big things they will give. That's generous people. Praise Master Jesus.
And finally, when you allow God to stir up your heart, as his work progresses, you are blessed.
And when you are blessed, God himself is glorified.
God will be glorified in every aspect.
God Almighty will be glorified.
It is my prayer that as we allow God to stay our hearts today, He will help us as we live in obedience, give willingly, give generously, and attract His blessings.
As His work progresses, we'll be glorified in our lives.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Let's stand on our feet and pray. Lord, I give my heart to you. Make me willing.
The Bible records about a man in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 2, that should be a Messiah.
The Bible said this man did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart.
That scripture always shocked me.
That Messiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart.
So we need to pray, God, make me willing. Don't do something because everybody's just doing it, but allow God to stir your heart. You will live in obedience as you allow him to stir your heart.
Just begin to talk to him. Say, Father, Father, help me.
Make me willing.
In the name of Jesus.
Make me willing, Lord.
Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Our Father, we thank you and appreciate you for this privilege.
Thank you for your word that has come to us this morning. Lord, I ask that you continue to use this word to speak to our hearts until we come to the place and point of obedience.
Submitting to you in every aspect of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
That one is for the Lord, we can do it better. Hallelujah. Stretch your word to take the thanksgiving.
Where is Mama? She's in the house.
We want to take thanksgiving.
Let's join up as you come before the Lord with our thanksgiving.
We are all invited to join our house.